This is Melissa, and today is the 29th of September, 2019. And I hope you are all doing all right. I was talking to someone today, a friend of mine, and she was telling me how much she likes listening to Alan Watts talks. She said they're timeless, and he is so calm. And I love to listen to them. So she was telling me what she had been listening to. And we talked for a while, and then I told her that I needed to go because I had not picked out a talk to put up. And I said, "Do you have any suggestions?" And she said, "Well, why don't you do what you did last week? That was kind of cool. So just, you know, get as close as you can to the date and pick something." And I said, "Oh, that's a great idea." And I looked and I realized that for the 29th of September, I had several choices. I don't think I've got them all up right now, but I believe there were about 5 years where Alan did a talk on the 29th of September. So I picked this one, 2019. Utility of sterility. "Oh, no need to worry," says professional persuasion. "With estrogen mimickers, you're a sterile mutation." In my conversation with my friend, she asked me, she said, "Oh, you know, Alan mentioned in the talk that I was listening to, the whole talk of September 20, 2020 that you put up part of last week, he mentioned the trains going by the house." And I said, "Oh yeah, that it's true. I mean, so many trains, more trains, much more than average during 2020, and not just the frequency, but how heavy they were. You could hear it and you could feel it shaking the house. And it was always interesting to watch the trains because you got an idea of what was going by sometimes, but then sometimes they were just mysterious, you know, containers from China. You had no idea what you were looking at." But the point that Alan made in that talk was that there was some stocking up going on. And I said, "Oh, it's so funny that you mentioned that, because in the Telegram book club this afternoon, we were talking about the possibility of World War III, what's going on, how when we look at World War II and what led up to it, we see some similarities today." And Darren made the point, you know, don't panic or be afraid about this, but some common sense preparation, some stocking up and being prepared is a good idea. And that, you know, Alan would always say, you just have to have some common sense preparations. You've got to have some batteries and plenty of water. And, you know, he'd talk about that from time to time, but, you know, he wasn't a serious prepper, but be prepared. And I said, "Oh, that was from that September 20, 2020 talk." She said, "Yes, I listened to the whole thing." And sometimes the talks just run together for me. And I'd been listening a lot to November 22 of that same year, and I thought it might come from there. But someone in the book club said, "You know, I just live by the idea that we should never give in to fear, that we don't want to be afraid." And that is true. We cannot let fear manage us. Sensible preparations are a good idea, but not being panic. I mean, what we've seen for the last few years is how effective fear is in controlling people. So we definitely don't want to succumb to that. And that was one of the things that was so good about the way that Alan spoke. People would sometimes say, "Oh, you're all doom and gloom." But really, when you listen to him, it's just this calm, no frills way of putting things across. And it was never fear-mongering. He could put things together in a really thought-provoking way that frankly was dangerous. And I think shadow banning was always a good technique of keeping him unnoticed the just don't talk about somebody. And I there was a commenter on one of the videos today that said it really bugged them the way so many people in the alternate world used a lot of Alan's material, but never gave him credit, never talked about him. And that's just the way that it was. But he did have a way of saying things that would really make you see in a different way. Now, because this talk is the 29th of September, 2019, there are some parallels, you know, what you might call the yearly event. Alan was talking about the Global Citizen Award, and here we are in September of 2024, 5 years later, and there's the Global Citizen Festival. This is from the 28th of September. The 2024 Global Citizen Festival draws thousands to Central Park's Great Lawn. And it tells you how everyone is gathered there to celebrate the Global Citizen. It's an annual music festival held by the organization Global Citizen, which calls for an end to extreme poverty, defending the planet, and demanding equitable access to nutritious food. It coincides with the UN General Assembly. Those who want to attend the festival are able to get free tickets by taking actions such as signing petitions, calling local politicians, participating in challenges, and more. Now, a few days ago, Elon Musk and Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni have what the New York Post described as a public love-in on the sidelines of Unga, even more beautiful on the inside than she is on the outside. Elon Musk heaped praise on Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni during a black tie awards reception as the pair put on an enamored display on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly. That's the UNGA. The Tesla billionaire and Trump supporter introduced the far-right politician at the Atlantic Council's Global Citizen Awards dinner at the Ziegfeld Ballroom in New York Monday night. So just an interesting, you know, something that happens this time of year that Alan was talking about in 2019, and here we are again. And so after I talked to my friend and then went and looked at to see what my options were for replaying, I went on a walk. And I thought about some of the topics that Alan discussed, and then I came back and I looked up a few things. And there were articles that were sent to me recently, or even the last day or two, that kind of tied in with some of the things that Alan talked about. And again, back to book club, someone raised some interesting ideas about Norway. And, you know, we don't think that much about Norway, but she was saying there's a lot going on in Norway and there's some big players there and so forth. And I remember, you know, you may recall that Alan talked about someone that he knew that he had met there many, many years ago who ended up being high up in the UN. So yeah, Norway's a player. But when we were talking about just common sense preparations that one might want to take, I thought about the seed vault that is in Norway. And Alan covered this extensively at the time that it was constructed. I think that was in 2008. And he also talked about some other DNA genome banks and vaults, that type of thing. And periodically over the years read articles as they came up. I mentioned the other day that I spoke with G&G, Gabriella and Graham in Germany, and that I'm hoping that that is my real history next week. They've sent some things by the snail mail, and I'm just waiting for those to arrive that I want to use in along with our conversation. But I, you know, if it all comes together, I'll be speaking with them. And they have so many things to talk about, and I know because we speak often as we can, and or, you know, we've just started speaking, but we've communicated by the snail mail copiously over the last few years. And the last time I talked with them, they were, they're really serious gardeners, and they were talking about how seeds are increasing in price, and it's important to keep and have seeds. Seed prices have soared. Is intellectual property the problem? So that's just what I said. And this one is from the World Economic Forum. And this is September 26, 2024. Hunger-ending seed technology is on the horizon, but will it reach the farmers who need it most? Well, I don't know. That's up to people who want to help farmers. Where are they these days? Innovations in crop breeding will determine how we tackle the world's growing hunger crisis. So they're preparing, I think mostly this is just prepping you for the idea that we are going to have a growing hunger crisis. So the Svalbard, hopefully I pronounced that right for the Norwegians in the audience, the Svalbard Global Seed Vault is a secure backup facility for the world's crop diversity on the Norwegian island of Spitsbergen in the remote Arctic Svalbard archipelago. The seed vault provides long-term storage for duplicates of seeds from around the world conserved in gene banks. This provides security of the world's food supply against the loss of seeds in gene banks due to mismanagement, accident, equipment failures, funding cuts, war, sabotage, disease, and natural disasters. The seed vault is managed under terms spelled out in a tripartite agreement among the Norwegian government, the Crop Trust, and the Nordic Genetic Resource Center. I may sometime dive into this because it's kind of interesting here, but it said storing seeds in the vault is free to depositors. But I wondered, who are those depositors? Because I don't think that you or I can go over to Norway with a bag full of seeds and get a vault to put them in. Somehow I just don't think that that is going to happen. So it said here that as part of the seed vault's first anniversary, this would have been in 2009, more than 90,000 food crop seed samples were placed into storage, bringing the total number of seed samples to 400,000. Among the new seeds included were 32 varieties of potatoes from Ireland's national gene banks and 20,000 new samples from the U.S. Agricultural Research Service. Other seed samples came from gene banks in Canada and Switzerland, as well as international gene banks in Colombia, Mexico, and Syria. So it said that that shipment brought the total number of seeds stored in the seed vault to over 20 million. It said, as of May 2024, the seed vault conserves 1,280,677 accessions, that's acquisitions, representing more than 13,000 years of agricultural history. So this is just something that I'm looking at out of Wiki, and there's some other things, I'll put them up. But it said that basically every country now has gene banks and seed vaults and so forth. So I looked around, and sure enough, the U.S. has, it's got its seed vault in Fort Collins, Colorado, and there may be more, but this is one that they're talking about. And this one was from 2018, and they're talking about how they had some Monsanto seeds there as well. I'll just read a little bit of this. It said, the whole point is we are saving the resources for the world. this person has worked at the Fort Collins Seed Vault for more than 19 years. The Seed Vault in Fort Collins was built by the federal government in 1953, decades before the Svalbard Global Seed Vault opened in 2008. The choice city was chosen because of the dry climate and adjacent university. Talks about backup generators, climate control, etc., etc. The seeds and animal matter are preserved either in cooler rooms set to minus 18 degrees Celsius or submerged in liquid nitrogen inside of stainless steel tanks. Some seeds in the collection are nearly a century old. 90-year-old cotton seeds from the facility were recently grown as part of a research project. A famous 1940s experiment started in California is now housed at the facility. Researchers then believed they could preserve a batch of seeds until 2307. Test tubes containing those seeds are tested regularly, and many have survived. All new seed patents in the U.S., like the GMO varieties made by Monsanto, are also required to be stored in the vault. We work for scientists of the future, but also with scientists of the past. Now, that just made me think about Monsanto, because Monsanto was bought over by Bayer in 2018, probably just a few months after this article was written about the Fort Collins Seed Vault. They're still doing, you know, they still have the same GMO, same pesticides, insecticides, and so forth that they had when it was called Monsanto Roundup, etc., etc., but it's now owned by Bayer. Just a couple of days ago, someone sent me this, University of Southampton. Human genome stored on everlasting memory crystal. University of Southampton scientists have stored the full human genome on a 5D memory crystal, a revolutionary data storage format that can survive for billions of years. The team hoped that the crystal could provide a blueprint to bring humanity back from extinction thousands, millions, or even billions of years into the future, should science allow. The technology could also be used to create an enduring record of the genomes of endangered plant and animal species faced with extinction. The 5D memory crystal was developed by the University of Southampton's Optoelectronics Research Center, ORC. Unlike other data storage formats that degrade over time, 5D memory crystals can store up to 360 terabytes of information in the largest size without loss for billions of years, even at high temperatures. It holds the Guinness World Record, awarded in 2014, for the most durable data storage material. The crystal is equivalent to fused quartz, one of the most chemically and thermally durable materials on Earth. It can withstand the high and low extremes of freezing, fire, and temperatures up to 1,000 degrees Celsius. And it's unchanged by long exposure to cosmic radiation. Okay, so in this talk that you're about to hear, I'm just going to mention a few things here, and I will put a link up to the section where you can scroll down to the date, September 29, 2019. You can find the original audio, and you will be able to find, as long as the links aren't dead, you know, and if they are dead, always try the Wayback Machine with it. Just plug it into the Wayback Machine. Doomsdays that didn't happen. Think tank compiles decades worth of dire climate predictions. Boris Johnson unveils $1.2 billion for climate and endangered species. Wrong again. 50 years of failed eco-apocalyptic predictions. U.S. religious leaders issue religious declaration of unprecedented human emergency. Faith pledges push global fossil fuels divestments over $11 trillion. young couples not having children because of climate change, mycoestrogen. Plastic pollution is in your cup of tea. Plastic tea bags release billions of microparticles and nanoparticles into tea. Plastic in drinking water, what are the risks to human health? Endocrine disruptors, National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences. Environmental causes of cancer, endocrine disruptors as carcinogens. Phthalates. Cancer worries prompt generic Zantac recalls at Walgreens, Walmart, and Rite Aid. What you need to know. Tens of thousands of 5G telecommunications satellites, escalating tensions in a contested and congested space environment. 20,000 satellites for 5G to be launched, sending focused beams of intense microwave radiation over entire Earth. Researchers develop low-power, low-cost network for 5G connectivity, a millimeter wave network for billions of things. Health fears prompt the Swiss 5G revolt. The last mile to civilization 2.0. Technologies from our not-too-distant future. Nanobots, smart dust, 5G wireless, and smart cities. Smart dust is coming. Are you ready? MEMS and smart dust. The big potential of a tiny future. And then we get into the Global Citizen Festival and the thousands attending the Global Citizen Festival in Central Park. So there we are again 5 years later. So Alan's talking about 5G. And I was just thinking about something that came in some months back. I got so far behind on email, and I would always try to look at everything, but I couldn't answer it, and I couldn't get through, and things slipped through the cracks. Sad to say. But something quite interesting came through some months back, and the person who sent it said, "When I saw this article, I thought of Alan." This is from January the 31st, 2024. Scientists discovered strange entities called obelisks in our bodies. Their purpose is a mystery. Scientists have discovered strange entities hiding in our guts and mouths that may represent an entirely new class of life, if they are even alive. Dubbed obelisks, these tiny rings of RNA can fold into a structure that looks more like a rod, hence the name. And they're also surprisingly commonplace in our microbiomes, the community of viruses, bacteria, fungi, and their genes that live in our bodies. Yet they've gone undetected until now and represent the latest discovery in an ever-growing list of mysterious genetic agents hiding in plain sight. Indeed, the researchers who discover them report that their function, if they have one, is a mystery. So it's kind of interesting, and they tell you how they work, but or what they think they do and what they think they don't do. It said they lie somewhere between viruses and viroids, which are single-stranded circular RNA that were thought to mostly infect plants, including wreaking havoc on weed crops. It said viruses can make their own proteins, but they have a protective shell surrounding their genetic material, unlike obelisks. Obelisks, therefore, need some kind of host, so the researchers have identified one, the bacterium called Streptococcus sanguinis that lives mostly in dental plaque in our mouths. Exactly which other hosts obelisks inhabit is yet another mystery. But the smallness of it and the proteins and so forth, it just reminded me of what we're hearing a lot about, which is nanotechnology. And an article that I actually put up, which I had some hesitation with it. I found it interesting, but I didn't have time to read the whole piece, and I read more of it today, but it's quite lengthy, very lengthy. So, but this is real-time self-assembly of stereomicroscopically visible artificial constructions and incubated specimens of mRNA products, mainly from Pfizer and Moderna, a comprehensive longitudinal study. Before I get into this a little bit, I just wanted to say that something this week was pulled down in about 10 minutes after I put it up, and I was just reading about something, and I did notice that where it was pulled down, you can find these machines that I was reading about, videos about them. In other words, it seemed to be me reading the mainstream articles in conjunction with Alan calmly talking about the agenda that sent alarm bells to the AI. And Alan talked about that in this talk. He said we're at a place now. He was talking about the social credit system and that we no longer have humans to go to in this system. Everything is, it's robotic, it's artificial, it's AI. It's another kind of intelligence without human contact that said, I've been programmed to detect something. I detect it, and there's no recourse. There's nothing that you can do. I protested on educational grounds, and because I knew that what I was reading about was all over there, it's just the way that I said it, combined with Alan, was meant to provoke thought. And that is dangerous. Thinking is dangerous. There are just a couple of things that I'm about to mention, as well as some things that Alan mentioned in this talk from 2019, which if you're listening on certain outlets, you're not going to hear it. I'll have to remove that, including what Alan said. And the timing. Alan talked in here about the precognitive ability that we all possess to varying degrees, that he would know. He said it's not prophetic, it's not seeing the future, it's just the way that your mind can work. And so he talked about a few things that were quite prescient, that we did see come to pass. And this is September 2019. And there are some specifics that he talked about that I will remove for certain outlets because he nailed it with the precognitive ability just a little bit too much on the head. So that's got to go. And there'll be just a couple of things here that I will mention by way of provoking thought, which is not allowed on some outlets. In that article, Real-Time Self-Assembly of Stereomicroscopically Visible Artificial Constructions and Incubated Specimens of mRNA Products, mainly from Pfizer and Moderna. Something I didn't notice before when I read the abstract, it was describing all of the things that they observed in the injectables. They resembled carbon nanotube filaments, ribbons, and tapes, some appearing as transparent, thin, flat membranes, and others as three-dimensional spirals and beaded chains. Some of these seem to appear and then disappear over time. Our observations suggest the presence of some kind of nanotechnology in the COVID-19 injectables. And when I read that today, that struck me as very odd, a very odd thing to write, because years ago in the mainstream, they were talking about, and I know that they weren't talking about self-assembling little robots, but the lipid nanotechnology delivery system was all over the place. People were quick to tell you that it was just a delivery system. That's all. There weren't tiny little robots. I saw a debunking article from July 27, 2023. The claim, because they're going to debunk it, the claim, a patent held by Moderna proves its COVID mRNA vaccine contains programmable nanotechnology that can interact with 5G communications technology. AP's assessment, false. While it's true mRNA vaccines contain nanoparticles, the term simply refers to the size of the lipids or fats used as a coating in the immunization, according to experts. The term programmable is also used in the patent to refer to the ability to modify and adjust those nanoparticles depending on the need, they say. This does not mean that they can be programmed to interact with wireless networks. Okay, so there you go. Great, that has been debunked. Just a couple of random things. All I'm doing is putting it out here for you to think about. This is from a week ago from Phys.org. DNA origami. Remember origami? That's when you, you know, Japanese style, make a swan out of a piece of paper. DNA origami and fluorescent probes can precisely release molecular cargo. In the world of nanotechnology, the development of dynamic systems that respond to molecular signals is becoming increasingly important. The DNA origami technique, whereby DNA is programmed so as to produce functional nanostructures, plays a key role in these endeavors. Now, this is interesting, and for you science techie people, you will find it very interesting. The material can be programmed to perform changes in the way it's structured even after it has been delivered. There's another one on this. Mason researchers, that's George Mason University, use DNA origami to design novel vaccine platform. Their new process takes advantage of DNA molecules' self-assembly properties by folding them onto nanoparticles that mimic viruses, eliciting a robust protective immunity to COVID in mice. Scientists create army of tiny robots that can be injected into the human body. Researchers said the study showed nanobots had the potential to transport drugs to precise locations. This one is very interesting. 5 September 2024. Doctors have welcomed a breakthrough in medicine that will see tiny robots injected into the human body to perform complex tasks. A team of scientists engineered magnetic nanobots made up of blood-clotting drugs, encased in a coating designed to melt at precise temperatures. The technology could open new frontiers in medicine, scientists announced. In a study co-led by the University of Edinburgh School of Engineering, researchers showed the technology could be used to treat bleeds in the brain caused by aneurysms, which cause about 500,000 deaths globally each year. I wonder, I'd like to see a year-to-year on that, you know, say this year as opposed to, I don't know, 2019. They injected several hundred billion of the bots, each about a 20th of the size of a red blood cell, into an artery, and then remotely guided them to the site of the aneurysm using magnets and medical imaging. Once the swarm of tiny bots was in position, researchers used magnets to cluster them together and heat them to their coating's melting point, thereby releasing the drug at the precise point where it could prevent or stem bleeding into the brain. An aneurysm is a blood-filled bulge on a brain artery that can rupture and cause fatal bleeds or lead to stroke and disability. Our study is an important step towards bringing these technologies closer to treating critical medical conditions in a clinical setting. The study showed nanobots had the potential to transport drugs to precise locations without risk of leaking into the bloodstream, which they said was a key test of the technology's safety and efficiency. Okay, last one. This is from May 2023 from the National Institute for Health and Care Research. Trials launched for revolutionary needle-free coronavirus vaccine. Trials have begun for an innovative coronavirus vaccine that could vastly increase access to vaccination in the developing world. Now, you can read why this is so exciting and revolutionary. DNA is the key. It can be manufactured, DNA that is, can be manufactured and stabilized in powder form. This means it can be delivered to locations that do not have reliable cold chain storage, such as in low and middle income countries. It is hoped the vaccine will boost global vaccination and enable vaccine equity. The use of DNA also enables delivery through needle-free devices. These target the immune cell population under the skin using air pressure. Well, I will let you listen to this talk by Alan, the ever calm and listenable Alan Watt. Enjoy this. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear manage you. Just make sensible preparations where you can and then enjoy life, because I have found that the more I know and understand, the less fearful I am. So have a good week.
I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on the 29th of September 2019. I hope you're all surviving as we go into the winter, especially in the colder areas, as Northern Ontario, for instance, and elsewhere in the States as well. Because in the last few nights I've been down to about 35 degrees Fahrenheit. Not bad during the day, except for the rain occasionally, which is normal for this time of year here. Yeah, it's cold at night and it's shades of things to come, which I'm not looking forward to this year at all. I think it's going to be pretty bad again. Last year was terrible. It's the longest lasting winter I've ever seen, with snow from September right through. Right through May, in fact, up here, still melting. And then it was clear about June, and there was no spring to speak of, really. That's how it is now. It was so heavy with snow last year that I've mentioned it to other people too, that a lot of people lost their roofs, collapsed completely with the heavy weight of snow. It seemed to snow almost every day. It was so cold, there was no settling of the snow after between falls. It seemed to just pile up and pile up and pile up. It was so cold, and there was no January thaw, which is a temporary thaw for maybe a week or 2 weeks if you're lucky, and it goes back into the winter again, but that tends to bring the snow. Now, it didn't happen. It didn't happen this year, this January. But it was so bad. It was so bad eventually that I was so almost dead, literally, with going up on the roof to shovel it off. Every day I had no time to do any other work, really. It was so much snow at the back of the house, I could actually walk up the snow onto the roof without a ladder. So there you go. That's your global warming, of course, is in action. I really demand I get my share of global warming, because I'm paying my taxes for it. We're all paying carbon taxes and different things, and they only put a big one, mandatory one, out, whether you like it or not, on everything shortly with the next meeting, because it's all planned years ago, everything's happening today. And by demand, if we're paying taxes for it, we should get a good service and get good warming where I am, you see. And that's a way of it. But right now too, I don't know, I mentioned it last week, I think, or the week before, time really is flying. And I've been thinking about it for the last 2 or 3 years, because other folk have told me the same thing. Time is just flying along. And I tell you, the worst time, of course, is a computer. If you're working on a computer, looking up different articles and stories and what's getting put out there for news, etc., time will vanish. I've always known that will happen. But I'm pretty certain that... since they're always upgrading all your computer systems, etc., and even unknowingly to you as you're using the darn things. The Pentagon wrote about that years ago, and I remember putting the article up, that they could affect your mood and your behavior by putting out patterns of pixels which you wouldn't be conscious of, but they would affect that through your eye, literally. The different things like heart rate, for instance. They could be hypnotic, naturally. I think we've all experienced that to an extent with the computer. When you start daydreaming on the thing and you realize that how long you've been daydreaming, because whatever you're reading or looking at is boring, you see, or repetitive, your mind will wander into it and then you'll daydream. But I think it really does. I think with all the Wi-Fi and everything that Mr. Persinger talked about, Professor Persinger, a few years ago, a guy who worked in Sudbury at a university there with the department on psychology, a kind of advanced type of psychology. But he also was really into, he used the Corbin helmet, for instance, which can be put on and it'll pulse different frequencies around the brain when the helmet. And it's claimed that they can actually give hallucinogenic experiences from it, or in the very least relax them, as marijuana would do, sort of thing. He also talked in his lectures, and I put those links up years ago, he talked about a field that we've heard about the field theory, that there came up with all different theories and so on, but you have to always realize that there's a way of looking at something, and then an inner way of looking at something, because this unified idea has more to it than unifies. It's literally to do with unifying society under a form of control, because he talked about how, which is probably true to an extent, that there is such a thing as intuition. We know that, as intuition. We get ideas. We're taught not to trust it anymore, but we should trust our intuition, because it's often a warning. At the very least, it's a warning. Sometimes you're wrong, and sometimes you'll say, well, that wasn't too bad, or where it was, and so on. But intuition is awfully important to us. We're taught really to disregard things and listen to experts today. But intuition go into the next phase, where you start to have a form of precognition, to an extent. And many experiments have been done now. And I know it's true. I've had lots of precognitive things come to me that happen pretty well the way that you kind of foresaw it happening, not in a straight vision or anything, but it's like an inner mind, inner eye type of idea, and it can actually happen that way. Now, you can also put that down to the fact, for instance, if you've studied enough, read enough, and lived long enough, you can also put things together about what's going to happen in the world, as an example. That's a bit different. That's fortified by learning. Even though you can't remember things consciously, a lot of them, it'll come to you if you suddenly hit a certain topic. A lot of ideas will come flying back to you that you thought you'd submerged in the great subconscious somewhere. But it can happen to you. Persinger literally was talking about a kind of electrified field, you see. And they have done lots of experiments with it too, even wondering if that's what the idea of the transmission of feelings across the world to relatives, things like that, come from. You've got an idea someone's going to phone you, even within a continent, and it'll happen. Now, if you're thinking they're going to phone you every day and they don't, well, it's just pure chance when they do. But if it suddenly comes upon you and sure, within 5-10 minutes, you get a phone call from, well, and you haven't heard from them a while, that's generally, there's something more to it, obviously. So they've actually worked out to see if it's some form of communication that we have naturally, like animals, through electrical forces or patterns or whatever that are somehow transmitted. They've got all kinds of theories on everything, as you well know. And if you're awfully good, you can become a professor of theories, just using theories, which are good guesses, eh? Right? And you can never be wrong, because even when it's disproven, they come out with another theory which they can then adopt and still be called a professor. But anyway, he thought it was a great idea, this idea of a coming force, basically, as if like through science. What he said, and I think he was really, I suspect he was really talking about they call it in the Pentagon artificial or synthetic telepathy. literally by studying the brain patterns of, and giving people things to think about and studying them as they think about what you've told them, they get to know over time which parts of the brain is in action with the different synapses going back and forth and all the rest of it. And it's a form of language, you see, they think. So if they can accept, they take those patterns and then transmit them out there, you might get the ideas of the person who was actually studied to get those particular patterns from. So you could project ideas into someone's head. That was part of the idea, synthetic telepathy. And the military is really big into this idea of synthetic telepathy, because it would do away with bulky equipment for transmission. Because that's actually what it is, isn't it? Transmission technology. And if they could find ways to, again, probably through a chip or something embedded in the right place, it'll pick up on something being projected from a distance, for instance, and it'll be transposed in, or transposed into actual language which you'll understand in some way if it was embedded in the right part of their brain. That's what they hoped to do. Well, he thought it'd be a great idea if this field acted the same way without the part stuck in your brain, perhaps. But he said eventually you could make people feel what you want them to feel, like hunger across the world, and how great that would be. Now, do you realize you can't have that kind of thing possible in a free society, in any kind of society, really, unless you want to call it pure zombie tyranny, because there's no government in the world wouldn't use this on all their population. And maybe it's already being used, who knows? And I'm sure it's been experimented with, these waves, as they call them, they can send out waves. We know, for instance, that Brzezinski, Zygmunt Brzezinski, who wrote Between Two Ages and other books too, about the system to come, and he was up there in the CFR and the Trilateral Commission, that helps to shape the world and plan the future in 1,000 different areas, basically. It's a big organization. They call themselves the establishment, the CFR in the States. They call it, that they have a DVD out, in fact. It was out a few years ago, where they literally boast about it, that they are, they're selected at university to join the club, and they become the movers and shakers for the society, whether you like it or not. Because you understand that the system is working in such a way that elections are a bit of a joke, aren't they? And they have been a joke for a long, long time. We know that Carl Quigley goes into that, of course, about the fact that the heads of all parties in Western society and in some of the Eastern, like Australia too, New Zealand, are all selected in advance, because they belong to the same organizations. It's CFR and, the Pacific region too. They include Japan in that too. They have members now as well, in Australia and New Zealand. And they have the European group, and they have the CFR for running Americas and American policy for the world. And the Trilateral Commission too, because the members are, for Trilateral, are pulled out of the CFR. But it's all one big club, you see. And they're unaccountable to the public. They're embedded in all governments and the high levels of bureaucracies and civil service, because the civil service is more important. They know what they're doing. You might not like what they're doing if you knew, but they know what they're doing, and they're often employed for life in them, you see. So they know their area of expertise in every department of government far better than any placed politician who has to go to these people and get his reading cards for the press conferences, because he doesn't know what field he's talking about or what it really is. So we're living in a system that can be influenced. Now, if you can influence it, again, through the HARP technology, a lot came to the public's awareness through HARP technology, and especially the one in Alaska that was very prominent. The other countries have it too. And they have portable units as well now. And they even have universities with departments with their own little towers. And when you use them in unison across a nation, they can cause standing waves, just like the big HARP projects. So you don't even need them all together to create the standing waves and superheating the atmosphere, which also diverts the jet streams in the air, the current, wind currents in the air. And with that, you can superheat it too and divert water away from an area or bring it to an area. These are declassified, and you can dig them up too if you're looking at declassified and the projects on weather manipulation through high altitude rural research projects, for instance. They have different names for them now too. It's the same thing. Whenever you get too many folk talk about something, they change the names. It's all the same thing. And it's successful. It works. It does work very, very well, in fact. And that's why with today, with the big push, political pushes, for something that's very important to those who control the world. And that's why they've put everything on this big front. And it's a front of bringing the world together under the same common rules and laws and values too. To save the planet idea. They used to, you understand that this weather idea, it's not new. It's old. And they've tried it before with ice ages coming, etc. Just as much, with lots of money poured into it, and big movies came out, and the front people put churning out books too, and promoting them across colleges and universities and schools and televisions across the world. So fear is a great driver to get folk to comply very quickly. That's the idea behind it. The standing wave idea has been used. Now, standing waves also give off frequencies, and you can have carrier waves, that's how they work, the standing wave type. It has a carrier wave embedded in it, or it rides on it basically. And you can manipulate behavior with them. And in a very vast area, Brzezinski said that technotronic warfare techniques, using these techniques, which in the 1970s he was talking about, he says we could. And it means they knew it worked, they tried it, right? They says we could manipulate behavior across whole continents with this technology. You can pacify people without giving them tranquilizers. You can soothe the mind through hitting the brainwave patterns. And then as your brain adapts to the pattern, the frequency, you can actually alter the brain's frequency at that particular time. And bring in a calming effect, or you could use an anger effect. Very easy, eh? Isn't it interesting how it goes along with that old idea, the greatest passions, the greatest passions, the most powerful passions that folk can have are love and hate. And they say that anger and hate are more powerful than love, you see. But anyway, they had tested this stuff out before on different areas and studied the effects through the police reports, and even agriculture, as cattle, for instance, were becoming a bit angered. It takes a lot to anger the cattle, believe you me, like cows, and so then they know the behavior. These behavior alterations is when these frequencies are used, it really do work. Even domesticated animals biting their owners and so on. Completely out of character. And then by the amount of domestic calls for flare-ups between couples and families and so on, and the children. And so they know what frequencies to use to make that happen, for instance. Now, this is not conspiracy stuff. This is disclosed stuff from the big sources themselves. So Persinger, when he said that you can make people feel hunger, you know, from people across the world. How would you like it? Do you think they would stop the, and even then, the audacity to say that, and also infers that those who are controlling it have decided already they have the right to make you feel hunger across the world, or be in sympathy with someone, and feel real hunger, for instance. Is that what you want? Because with that technique, you could make them feel anything you want, and make them. For instance, if the elite ever, through their population, depopulation agendas, which are behind all this move for the climate change and laws to change the way that you live and breed and all the rest of it, that's what it really is, folks. It's an old agenda. And they've used different fronts before for it. If they can do that to you, what would happen, for instance, if they decide, if they really decide to release mass plagues like Bertrand Russell talked about. It was a pity, he says, we couldn't get real killer diseases like the Black Death every 10 years or so sweeping the planet to depopulate the planet. And that's a mild one he's talking about compared to what they have now in their biolabs, believe you me. Can you imagine how they could beam out some sort of thing and waft your brain until it's nice and compliant? Oh, you're happy or content or kind of dozy, you know, a bit euphoric and feeling good. Well, you wouldn't care about that other lot getting killed or even near you, for instance, if it was beamed on you. You understand what I'm saying? You can never underestimate the where power will go. You can never ever say, oh, they'd never do that. Last week, I mentioned a list of things government had already done. There's only a little bit of what's, you know, acknowledged. Different governments have tested on their own populations. And it's horrific. That's the ones they're admitting to after years of denial. And believe you me, as I say, the only way they can do things like this is to keep you naive or distracted or terrified. Terrified of things. In the 19th century, if you look at 19th century in Europe, including Britain at that time, with industrialized societies, people were generally awfully poor. The workers got peanuts. It was a sustainable economy, just sustainable. You might be able to feed yourself. You might be able to pay the rent in these thrown up cities, the red brick cities that were crumbled in no time at all and crammed together in rooms. You might just survive, you know, but it did in the Malthusian style kill a lot of people off. It was designed to do that. It was designed to do that. And so they get the work out of you, and as your life expectancy was diminished and you're paid peanuts, so they're big profits. And had lots more to come from the population as long as they kept breeding when they were young. Malthus went through this whole technique of the power of breeding as a natural power that's there. Otherwise, you wouldn't be around in the first place. And young people have it really, really, really strongly. And he saw no reason why it would diminish. Although he did go into ways to alter the outcome of them getting together, to put it that way, and what would happen. So what you're seeing in the 20th century is really something that came from much earlier, from Thomas Malthus and characters like him. It was incorporated in Darwinism. And ever since then, those who say that they own the world, and they do, you know, teach it in that way in academia, they literally have, you think class distinction is dead and gone. Who are you kidding? What delusion are you living in? But yeah, they literally are very, very open about it. And when you read these little articles that you think are there just for humor and comment, just to get a click here, a click there, clickbait sort of thing, well, it's not unusual for people to eat humans, you know, as they bring up different professors to push the little ideas. The same professors, by the way, that they generally pushed out there to bring in euthanasia some years ago. Now that's here, huh? You know, you start asking questions. When these things are actually getting talked about that what they're getting through to you is the idea, and what they're trying to get through to you, is to accept responsibility that there's too many of you. You see, not them, but you. And they're already training the youngsters. It's really bad to have children. Look at the resources they'll use in their lifetime from birth to death. My goodness, what a burden on the planet, eh? Well, the countries they've been aiming all this at, isn't it, don't you think it's a bit odd? Don't you think it's a bit odd that the nations were called the first world nations for a long time because they were the dominant economies. And they had work for the people at that time. And they were high in literature, etc., and maybe education too, reluctantly, of course, because they don't like giving education to people. And I've given talks on how it gradually was incorporated into the factories, basic education, so they could read basic instructions and so on. And then education took off, and they had meetings about that in Britain and elsewhere. What will happen if the people are educated? It could cause trouble. They know things, right? That's bad for power mongers. And so they gave you curriculums that would keep you preoccupied on a different track than your mind might bring you to or lead you to, left alone, if you had access, say back in the 50s or 60s or whatever, or before that, if you had access at school, especially junior school, in Britain they call it primary school, if you had access to really good critiques of the systems in which you lived in those schools, I mean, who knows where you might have gone with it all. What's interesting is how you look back at it and how limited it was in school, because the system that your tax money pays for to indoctrinate the next crop of youngsters is all about control and have a unified conformity is what school gives you. It's a conform. In fact, if you conform on your social credit systems, you get good plus marks, you see. You're a good conformist. China uses it incredibly well. But there's nothing that China's doing that I've noticed that's not been implemented here too at the same time. They're maybe a little more advanced through the testing of it, maybe. But we're getting the same thing here. In China, it's all done but through the state. And here, they pretend it's just private corporations will give you punitive slaps on the wrist or literally take you off the net or whatever. They're trying to say that they're just their own ideas of it. But really, what's really behind it, you're looking at a uniform, a conformity idea set for the future of a globalist type agenda, a global society. And they look at what happened this week with their global citizen concert. They tried to really push that big, get folk interested in it. I don't think they really took off that well. But they've tried that, and at the United Nations, through its model of the United Nations, MUN they call it, you can look that up, you'll see the big ideas they've got. They've got top universities all working with them for a coming global system, basically. They're talking really about governance. They don't always say government, in case folk still object to it, but so they call it governance. And you have the CFR working at it too, through different universities in Canada, and the States and elsewhere. This has been an agenda since before you were born, really, and you didn't know it. And there are reasons why they didn't want you to know it back then, but today most folk don't really care so much. We're really dumbed down big time by different methods, let's put it that way. But also, I think, through the internet too. As I say, they're trying to take you, divert you off into 1,000 different areas if you're doing a search on something, and to irrelevant, or what areas that might very vaguely be associated with what you're looking for, but it's what some organization is trying to divert you into. Obvious, it's rather obvious to me. And it's got nothing to do, really, with where you want to go with it. But someone does want you to go in a certain direction with it. Of course it is with search engines and so on. But it's like getting back to the book idea too. The old libraries in Britain at least did have good collections of books, and they kept them for a long time, many, many years of non-fiction books and reference books. Some libraries were just reference libraries, in fact. That's how they labeled themselves, at least, although they may have some fictions and so on. But they've all gone pretty well. And the format now is all internet. And with internet, I've even watched it with some of the organizations that put out e-books for big agencies. And now they're diminishing. And a lot of the books have just gone, even on the e-books. I knew that would happen too. Because for control purposes, you're not going to be given more freedoms in this society, in this world. It's the time now for conformity and the standardization of culture across the whole world, using the British model that they talked about a long time ago, and the language is a business language that all countries will use, which they're a lot more probably doing now. And then you bring in a culture on top, which isn't British. It's for the whole planet. It's for control and for, as I say, conformity. Unfortunately, it's all around you now. They've built a prison. They've guided you in to a system, an electronic system, until eventually they give you no choice at all but to be on it. When they force you off even plain cash, for instance, for using for money, which they've said, and there's plenty of articles out there from the top banks talking about it, and the central banking system wanting to do away with any cash society or cash in society. And they always have their usual excuses. Well, just stop crimes, just stop. Oh, nonsense, nonsense. You know, criminals will always find ways around things. It's to control everything, you see. And to have a total observation over everybody in a conformist society. And once they force you all into it, like the credit system, it's to manage, you're going to have to conform to everything. And unseen people will decide through their algorithms if you've done a bad thing or said a bad thing or whatever bad it happens to be at the time. And they might change it into the opposite the next day. You know, you have no idea what they're going to do. But if you look at the different ones from China and the studies on China, you'll see that you can't even get into a library, a public library, or onto a bus, for instance. And that could be for the rest of your life. Do you understand? This is beyond, there's no democracy here. There's no jury anywhere. There's no one's going to stand up representing you and portray your rights or explain your rights to some sort of judge or jury. This is an automated system. And it's here, folks. It is here. I hope you understand that. And there's no guessing about where it's supposed to go and what you're supposed to think. And how you're supposed to behave. And what you're supposed to worry about. All climate, all sustainability. You see, the Malthusian projects here. Convinced the problem. And they've decided you're all the problem in a post-industrial society. And now you're consuming their, you know, resources. I mean, heavens. The ones at the top who plan out, they have big families, you know. It's, oh, well, we can afford it. You lot can't, you see. I've got books from 1920s on the same topic here, where ministers, Protestant ministers and Catholic priests were discussing the big push then, after World War I, when the, what they called the flower mankind was slaughtered on battlefields. They were talking about these very, very things. Oh, there'd be a big population boom, you know. That always follows, they say, these massive wars. This is what, to them, it's all patterns, you see. But how come the ones, and they mentioned even the Churchill family, because one of the Churchills, maybe it was the old Daddy Churchill, or one of them had come out before on a certain committee talking about, oh, the ordinary people have got to limit themselves to children, so many children and so on, and they're getting a big push for it. And the academia coming out and putting the articles in the papers, because you'll follow those who are called professors. They pay them to say these things in the newspapers. So that you'll follow that, these guidelines for the real dominant minority that own it all. And that's what you've got. The same things today as you had back then. And the books are of interest because they go through the folk on the boards of these, they wanted you all to depopulate, and went through the different family names and went through how many children their particular families had and so on. Just incredible, really. And they're telling you that you shouldn't have any. It wasn't just sterilization of what they called the weak, or weak-minded at that time, etc. No, no. They wanted it to be put across the board and to alter the population according to industry, what industry needed. Well, that hasn't gone away, folks. That has gone. Now you're post-industrial, as they say, a planned society, because they knew they'd bring it into a global society back in the early 1900s, the ones who worked at the Milner Group and so on. Because they had these big projections in their own writings about what will happen when they eventually rule the world and have conquered all the world and brought them all under one system and so on. Well, what will the next step be? Well, it wasn't to make everybody prosperous. It was then to tackle sustainability, you know. Darwinism and the Malthusian ideas, and it hadn't died away suddenly, you know. They were prominent then. They've never given up these same goals. And Malthus too. Talks about, oh, well, you know, there's a peak you'll reach with the problem that the folk aren't dying off. You see, there's two ways to look at what you're reading. The problem that folk aren't dying off and so on is because they're getting around through using manure, etc., and fields for growing crops and to make them grow much better and revitalize the soil, etc. So in his way, he says everything, Malthus says everything except, unfortunately, they're eating well, you know. Whereas they wouldn't be if it didn't have science coming in, just basic science and common sense. So where you are today, after all the fears that they gave society back then. That's how they kept the workers, the peasant workers, working for peanuts and starvation wages in the 19th century into the 20th century. It was the fear of unemployment and death through starvation, because they didn't have the welfare systems then, etc. So they changed it from that eventually to, the threat of war. And you're all going to get slaughtered if you don't fight for us and defend us, defend the country. All the countries did that same con, you see. So after World War One, they went to work. There's still going to be too many people, etc. And that was all the way up into World War Two. And in the last year of World War Two, they had a meeting in Britain, like the king's supposedly preside over it, of different councils on the coming problem and how they could, you know, bring in a system for depopulation. There'd be too many people again. And from then on, everybody who was born after World War II was called a baby boomer. You know, like they never had babies before, right? Just like, there'd be too many old people, you know, and they'll need medical treatment. Like we never had aged folk before, eh? Well, quite a joke. Is that, I mean, every day, folk are getting born, and every day folk are dying. It's always, you don't suddenly have it all happening at once. Well, that's almost like the impression they gave you back. It all happened at once somehow. So the whole point is the people in the European countries, including Britain, although they're not part of Europe, even though they're part of the Union, but back then they certainly weren't, were not having stacks of children. They were good citizens, believe you me. They followed the idea of having only two children, at the most, maybe only one. If you only have one child per couple, you're starting to depopulate right away. If you're having two children, then the population is going to be stable. Well, most of them are having two or one. And then come the 60s and 70s, they're having even less and fewer, right? But they never stopped the hammering. It was too many people, too many people, too many, to suit their economy, because they're only planned to go into a post-industrial society by farming off all the industries in other countries in the third world for bigger profits. See? So this never stopped. And then after that, they gave you a cold war to terrify you. So it's just fear, terror, unemployment, starvation, wars, and you keep them safe by fighting for it, right? Fighting for the country. And then come back being told there's too many of you and we'd rather not have children. Right into a Cold War and inflation and massive taxation you pay for the last two wars, by the way. Really stagnant wages and just, again, subsistence wages, etc. for a long time. And then a Cold War to terrify you. Oh, you're getting nuked now. You'd obey us now. If they hadn't had that, you know, folk would have just almost like wandered off of government, just wandered away somewhere because government was such a joke to them. It really was. With old systems, it didn't make any sense anymore. It really didn't. Like Quigley said, he said it didn't matter what party you voted for, they'd both push the same things at election time. So what's the difference, you see? Well, I've come to that stage long, long ago and past it, in fact. It's such a joke. And Tony Blair for the Labour Party, and it's much more of him than meets the eye, of course, but he was more of a warmonger than anybody, any conservative guy, for a long, long time. But and then you have to realise what was really behind Tony Blair and his ideals and who trained them and, world socialism. World socialism is not for working people. It's to manage working people on behalf of those who rule the world and own it, basically, as far as they're concerned. But again, bringing down the population, etc., etc., etc. So they went from that, and then as the Cold War was dying off, even before that happened, in the 70s, you had a coming ice age. I'll mention a few of those things from articles, but the coming ice age. And that never happened either. You know, and the top, churned out books, the same, often by the same authors who gave you the coming frying pan age, you know, when you fry, and so on. Because they must get you to give up your traditional rights and freedoms that you had, even though you had to really fight to try and hold any of them every year, this thing called democracy. Because democracy is a pain to those who have big plans. Because if people have rights, then you can't get your big plans rammed through, you see, they may object. So you do away with democracy under necessity, and efficiency, and they can get what they want at the top and conform society, train you, and you'll all happily get sterilized as you're growing up, you see. That's the system they want. Now, I'll bring a few of them up just to see what track we're on here. Because I prattle on too much when I start off, as I always do. It's just never ending, isn't it? It's never ending. Now they're going to have climate strikes, right? Unified across the world and financed with the same leaders everywhere going out. Because you see, everything is banked on using the climate for conformity and getting you to give up all your rights and freedoms and be guided and ruled by a new system. Understand that. Now, don't forget that China, the United Nations touted for years, and I've got some of the old articles from actual newspapers that I cut out years and years ago when they talked about China would be the model state for the world to follow and copy. Well, that didn't go away. So you got Boris Johnson, eh? The great new leader for Britain, eh? From the same camp as Theresa May, whether you know or not. And running for, you know, the secret services of Britain supply you with these characters. For goodness sake. When you see what they've been before, and when they're in the city of London before, the actual city, then they're really in at the top, basically. So he's going to unveil £1.2 billion for climate and endangered species. Well, eventually it's going to be all of us that are endangered, you know, because they plan to bring down your, and get rid of your food supply, folks. That's what the whole vegan idea is about and the anti-farming idea. This is what's behind it. Stop the emotive things that they get you going with until you fall right into it. And think of the big agenda. Back to Malthus. What was the problem with folk? Well, if they could eat, they're going to live and they're going to procreate. Well, reduce what they eat. Make it scarcer. And guess what happens? The same problems that happened before with famines and all the rest of it, folks, eh? The wealthy will always eat. The wealthy had no rationing problem during World War II, like the poor peasants that were fighting it did, you know? And then you have this one, two US religious leaders issue religious declaration of unprecedented human emergency. And so they've got Mal in Britain on board with it too, and that doesn't surprise me at all. And remember what Bernays said, Edward Bernays, who helped to put it, actually get the US into World War One, and he put a book out with some of his co-conspirators afterwards. They were paid to try to get a way to get Americans to go along with World War One, and they got in for the last year or so of the war. And then they boasted about it. They put a book out to boast how they did it. Because Bernays was one of the early marketers, marketing strategy, kind of like Theresa May. For those who don't know, that's her expertise, is in convincing people to do things and accept things that perhaps they shouldn't. And she's actually belongs to the Livery Association of it's like a Masonic group in the City of London for marketers. She's the head of it. Anyway, that's a by the by thing. So anyway. Here you have Bernays, which he said, he says, don't try to go to door to get folks to sign things and to create something new. Go for existing organizations, go for the top, even churches, he says, and see them get their flock to follow them and on a particular thing. And that's what they do. So I'm not surprised all the big ones are on board with it. And money will change hands, folks. Money will always change hands. So an unprecedented human emergency, you see? As I'm, you know, as I say, shoveling snow like every day off my roof last winter, my seven month winter. And it says, so faith pledges push for global fossil fuel divestments over 11 trillion. Everything that's transported is transported using generally diesel, either trucks or by train. Fossil fuel divestments over $11 trillion, right? Guess what's going to happen is you pay, and everything goes up and up and up. You see, that's what they said. They'd have to bring in a world of austerity. I gave the talks not years ago on austerity, the coming austerity, and the big boys talked about it, and gals too. So as they price everything out of existence, everything goes up, and you have less and less money to spend for basic essentials, and basic essentials go up and up because they're all transported to you. Remember that Technocracy Inc.? That they tried way back years, many years ago. The idea is everything revolves around energy, food, money, it buys energy, huh? And so on. And that's how you control folks. Well, here you are, folks, in your credit system, eh? Fear, 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 and then indoctrinate the young, as they always do. And I always talk about the Nazis indoctrinating for Hitler Youth, but Hitler got it from the Young Communists League, who, because they had their uniforms too, like Boy Scouts in the Soviet Union. They always go for the young in totalitarian regimes. An article, it doesn't feel just justifiable that couples not having children because of climate change, it says, eh? It's now a growing trend for young couples to abandon plans for a family because of the climate crisis. Now, remember, maybe two or three years ago, I read an article where a couple committed suicide because the latest thing was going to be desertification across the world, all living in sand and no water, and everything's dead, eh? I'll never, you understand, this is the big agenda. And when they signed on at the United Nations, there was a big agreement, and it's pretty well secretive, obviously it's secretive, because they used all the techniques for depopulation on, as I say, the advanced countries first, that didn't have the massive populations. In a global society that's dominated by the few at the top, from all groups and all races, but a few regardless, then they'd have to have a unified policy for a conformist society across the world, you see. And so it's to be pushed across every country now, you see. And that's why they're flooding the countries that already were depopulating big time. So much so, they weren't even coming up to sustainable levels of population. That was the excuse for bringing lots of migrants in. And then they used, again, wars to terrify folk, frighten them out of where they were, or force them out, actually. And then bring up the populations, then point everybody again. Oh, there's too many of you, see? You can't win. You can't win. Nobody can win here. Except those who plan it all, folks. Because if you were so good, they would point to your countries as a model and say, well, look at this country's only got a tiny small population and just enough to support themselves, etc. Well, yeah, but there's not enough to pay off the national debt. That's what Margaret Thatcher said. Can't win. Another one too is this article. Sterilization. I've talked about this for years because you have all kinds of estrogens, artificial estrogens, there's xenoestrogens and phytoestrogens and so on. It's astonishing, really, how many types of estrogens are out there. Mycoestrogens, they're part of the xeralinone group of estrogens too. But anyway, they can really affect male and female. Infertility in the West is not by accident, folks. And yet it's just like, it would be crisis proportions if it wasn't manufactured, made to be this way, because those who rule are always studying you, and they tell you what to be terrified about, and what's a crisis, and what isn't a crisis, etc. And even make up crises once in a while. But there's no crisis about you going infertile. Isn't that a bit odd, do you think? Eh? They talk about the different kind. There's also fungi, by the way, see? There's fungi. Now, the stacks of fungus infections across the surface now, big time. And I've read it in the farming industry in the States. They're blaming all kinds of things for it. But regardless, we're also got it in a strip from, runs from North Bay up where I am, right through to Manitoulin. And it broke out a few years ago. It's pretty deadly, actually, generally. And then you go into what's been getting sprayed through geoengineering. And by the way, look up Harvard. If you just look up the surveys at Harvard, and then there's different ones on YouTube from professors from Harvard talking about it. They've all got shares in the different methods of geoengineering and climate change control and all that stuff. So it's not a conspiracy theory, folks. It's been done. But the stuff that is spreading on and spraying us for years now, it's killing off different things and different organisms that keep fungus in check on the surface. Just like now, I think it was Monsanto when it was on the go before it got sold or incorporated into another organization. They brought a patent out to grow plants in soil that was heavy with aluminum, basically. So they've got aluminum resistant ones, you know, genes for plants. So just happened to make that. You know, you understand that they didn't have that need it before, but you need it now. Maybe. Never mind all the different arcs, as they call them, where they store real normal seeds in these vaults where you can have access to them, heavily guarded too. to start the world afresh for those who survive, meaning those who probably bring it all on. You've got to start waking up and thinking, these people aren't sitting just having chatty clubs. They use your tax money to prepare for everything for themselves, including underground bunkers, as we well know, for cold wars and plagues and everything else. Now, then you go on to plastic and drinking water. They've been pushing that for years. I did talks for years ago on the different problems with the phthalates and so on. And it was all recorded data stuff coming out of really good authorized investigations and authorities and so on. And they knew what it was doing to the public. And again, it changes you, really geoengineering you as well, because men shouldn't have such high doses of estrogen mimickers. They trick the body, and so it behaves the same way as pure estrogen. You know? And in veganism, they've got high doses in it naturally because they're eating anything with seeds in it is a type of phytoestrogen, really a plant estrogen-derived estrogen. So anyway, plastic and drinking water, what are the risks to human health, right? And you've got plastic microparticles finding their way into drinking water. They did an amazing study, and I was surprised they even published it. And I think it was done in Canada. There was one done in Cardiff as well, in Wales. I suppose it's Wales, because there's different places called Cardiff too. There's even different Ontarios, by the way. You know. Anyway, it's got the plastic microparticles, and they're microparticles, see? In the drinking water. They knew of tiny pieces of plastic and how they find their way into seawater, etc., etc. But how concerned should we be? The study that was carried out by university academics, but was commissioned and published by a media company rather than being reviewed by other researchers in a scientific journal. It means that we need more research and so on. However, it's in the drinking water. Now, this is not the main thing here. This one is an official one that was done. The increasing presence of micro and nano-sized plastics in the environment and food chain is a growing concern. Although mindful of consumers are promoting the reduction of single-use plastics, some manufacturers are creating new plastic packaging to replace traditional paper uses, such as plastic tea bags. Have you seen that stuff too for the coffees? You know, they come in these little things and they put them through the coffee maker, and I think that they're containing a plastic thing too, eh? Anyway, you've got plastic tea bags. For those who didn't know, that for a long time now, they've had a type of plastic type fiber that they make up, looks like paper, but it's in your tea as well. Anyway, this study goes through the amount of it. It's just terrifying when you see it. And you wonder why folk are changing shape and everything, including men. But women too, they're too much of certain things as well. But what else is doing to you too, of course, naturally? And I'm sure it'll give you infertility problems as well. And then you get certain drugs that became awfully popular when they changed the food, the vegetables to the modified variety, modified genes and so on, or modified genes, and they put patents on them as well. But then they use their own pesticides and so on. Suddenly in the pharmacies, you saw whole areas to do with proton pump inhibitor types, which literally you stop making so much gastric acid to cope basically with whatever the problem is with what you're eating. And that became awfully popular. No fuss about it. It just suddenly all appeared. It used to be prescription only, and suddenly you just buy them over the counter. And this is how things are done. Anyway, with the last couple of years, I think the US signed an agreement with the pharma companies that they could use substitute chemicals for certain parts of the medications. They claim they might do the same stuff. Well, I don't know if it's got anything to do with that or not, but anyway, there's now a cancer worry. The generic Zantac, it is called, or ranitidine. And so they've had recalls at Walgreens, Walmart, and Rite Aid. What you need to know. So the generic ones, at the very least, have something else in them that's, and they won't just pull stuff for nothing when it comes to pharma, believe you me. They'll try to hide things for years and years and years. Again, plastic and drinking water, what are the risks to human health? I'll put that one up. And then there's the microestrogen as well. You can find it on Wikipedia and other articles too from science lines. And then you have plastic pollution is in your tea, of course, from the Daily Mail. And I'll put that up too. It just goes on and on and on. It's endless, folks. And you think it's just coincidence, right? And then plastic tea bags release billions of microparticles and nanoparticles into tea. Nanoparticles are often important these days, as you well know, with the 5G in different areas. And then you have tens of thousands of 5G telecommunication satellites escalating tensions in a contested and congested space environment. Now, think back to what I mentioned about the Brzezinski's, you know, technotronic era and the weapon they could use to you know, make you happy, content, or angry, or whatever, you know. It's by waves across, you know, the continents. Now, there aren't any 5Gs, and it's all around you now, and much, much more powerful, too. I'll put a few articles up on that, too. 5G will be used phased array. Now, that's what they use also, phased array antennas. That's the term actually came from the HARP, the phased array antennas, right? So they'll be used phased array antennas to shoot beams of radiation at cell phones, it says, from satellites. That's really powerful stuff, folks. You know, I really don't like this at all. And then researchers developed low-power, low-cost network for 5G connectivity. Oh, wow. A millimeter wave network for billions of things. You remember what frequency this is in here. You're kind of in the microwave frequency. And most folk are being trained first to the things to get used, then they up to the 5G once you're used to it. That's how we adapt so fast, you see. And then health fears prompt Swiss 5G revolt. Some countries, the Swiss are awfully way ahead of everybody else when it comes to health. And some of our countries in Europe too, Denmark too, I think, and Holland. I know Holland definitely have compensation to folk who feel that they're damaged by the Wi-Fi that's everywhere. And the state will come in and fix up their homes to make it as the Wi-Fi proof as possible. But here in the West, oh no, everyone's happy, happy. It's great stuff. Oh my God, look at all the benefits we'll get from it. Yeah. This article is nanobots, neural dust, and smart dust, often depicted as mini metallic spaceships in science fiction. Most of today's nanobots are actually created from algae, bacteria, DNA, and other organisms already occurring in nature. However, they've altered them, as you all know. Scientists and engineers discovered long ago that piggybacking on nature by controlling a biological organism is easier than building one from scratch. Think about humans, eh? With the same dexterity, it says. So, this article goes on and on and on. It says, magneto-aerotactic bacteria nanobots, new nanorobotic agents capable of navigating through the bloodstream to administer a drug. See, there's your plus. They always sell things as positive, don't they, when they're selling it to you? With precision by specifically targeting the active cancerous cells of tumors. They always give you, oh, this is how great it's going to be, because you're all terrified of getting tumors, right? I wonder why you're getting the tumors in the first place. These legions of nanorobotic agents were actually composed of more than 100 million flagellated bacteria. Imagine flagellating the poor bacteria, and therefore self-propelled and loaded with drugs that are moved by taking the most direct path between the drug's injection point and the area of the body to cure, it says. Then they go into algae-based nanobots and DNA-based nanobots. You don't really want to have your DNA changed, folks, by folk who know what they're doing, but they give you a PR spiel to make you accept it. Bio-based solutions represent a bulk of the nanotech in this category, and scientists believe that these types of bots could eventually be programmed with as much detail as full-sized mechanized robots. And then smart dust is from Forbes. If smart dust is coming, are you ready? So wireless devices, they say, are going to be as small as a grain of salt. Actually smaller, a little bit. And they have sensors, cameras, and communication mechanisms to transmit data. Yeah. How wonderful, eh? And they're going to spray it. They're spraying it all over you, above you and all the rest of it, without your permission. See, you don't matter. You're already getting taught how wonderful it will be for you, see? Do you realize do you really think that different companies just spontaneously decide to do all this across the world? Do you really think it's just a kind of happening, as the hippies used to call a big party? It's just a happening, you know? It takes massive years and years of coordination by select committees to work on all this stuff together across the world, including all the psychological and behavioral experts too. Panels and panels that have been hired, lived their lives and retired and new ones and to get to this stage of it. But you're just hearing about it now, eh? And then now it says powered by Northrop Grumman, intersection of technology, innovation and creativity. MEMS, M-E-M-S, and Smart Dust, the big potential of a tiny future. Oh, how clever. How much did that cost the PR company to come up with that little jingle, eh? And then how Smart Dust could spy on your brain. I'll put up two of these articles. This is not scary. I'm not putting this out to terrify the folk. I'm putting out the stuff that's real and it's happening. But you're told that it's just wonderful. Just like they try to sell you a utopia of a conformist world society, all run somehow by some magicians, invisible magicians. You don't have to even have politicians. Look at totalitarian systems. They generally don't even know who rules their little area. Or maybe a commissar, they might know that. But in the wireless system where you're forced into the whole darn system for everything, right? You won't know who's in charge of anything. There'd be no names given. You just exist for the system. That's like a sci-fi thing. You'll exist for the system. That's your purpose. The system. What's the history of it? They won't give it to you. Who runs it? They won't give it to you. Just exist and be good. And here's the good. Here's how to be good. And if you look into the Chinese credit system, which I say is this, it's already here. And this is what all the stuff about hate was about, how they're pushing it across the internet, the hate idea, is to get something in there that you'll agree with so that they can then expand it into everything else. I mean, you conform to every other opinion that's authorized, but that you must accept. Do you understand how these are all tactics of behaviorists? Stop falling in to the little game where you'll immediately jump on the side of this or that. And sit back and watch it and look at it. And see who's doing this and why are they doing it? Who benefits? And what organizations and what laws are they trying to push already to make you all conform to it? Who wants this to happen? As I say, who wants you to go totally vegan? Think back to Malthus. Think of all the folk in the Darwin movements and the eugenics movement who spelled out plainly. I'm not speaking off the top of my hat here. They're quite vocal about it all. Still are, very vocal. There's too many of you. And you're all, even though the Western countries are plummeting and have been for many, many years, not having. Don't forget that again. It was the so-called advanced countries who were first given the pill as an example, and then in massive publicity for them to take the pill. They weren't pushing the same thing across what they called third world countries then, were they? You understand? Because it's a global society, and now they will hit everybody else. You see, and as they come on to and eat the same things, and everything's been altered, etc., etc. They hope to bring down the population of the planet. And think of the Georgia Guidestones. That's not some little statue put up by some local library group or something. This is something that's very explicit in what a group wants to happen in the world. And you will get good social credit points if you do get sterilized. I guarantee you that's coming. No doubt about it. And anyone who says anything is to be judged by, again, through the society, not a court or anything else, on what you may or may not have said, even if you didn't even say it, because you didn't put anything together in this day and age, can't you? Even the CIA admitted that now, that there's programs out there that it's just flawless in what they can make you have said. So you have to really look at everything and who benefits. It's an old agenda, the coming ice age. Of all the articles, all the big newspapers harped on for years in the 60s and 70s, and the books that were churned out, and right back to, as I say, with where it ends up going. It's quite something. I'll put these articles up. That's all the time I really have to do things. Remember too, you can help me tick along by donating to me at cuttingthroughthematrix.com website. And as I keep stressing, you have to remember that anything that's put up there that's not my website isn't mine. So if you want to buy the books and discs, you have to go into cuttingthroughthematrix.com and see how to do it and make a list of the sites that are mine, you know. There are folk who put up stuff from mine, which is fine, but they don't ask for money because you can't resell. There's a lot of good folks out there too, but you have to always be so careful in this day and age because there's so many legalities out there now. And as I say, the social credit system is here, and you'd be surprised at what I could tell you is it happens here. Really, if you say what is real and you can get through to people by using the facts and giving them articles or books or whatever that they can go and actually, and studies that they can go and look up themselves and verify it, you can be a danger to this system. And all kinds of nasty tricks can be used upon you, which makes you a bit paranoid at times. And you got to be a bit paranoid at times because horrible things can happen. And you get warnings. I do get warnings here and there to shut up, literally. And I don't push politics, as you know, because I really don't believe there's anybody to vote for. I really don't. And politicians are not the nicest of people. They're awfully pleasant, and they're nice that way, because psychopaths are pleasant with smiles and that, but they don't mean what, they're quite content to further their nest and elevate themselves. That's why they go into it. It's rather sad. As I say, this big global agenda, I've watched it my whole life pretty well, unfurling as it was written long before even then, by organizations and groups that were given the power to create new cultures. Literally, by presidents and prime ministers signing agreements through the UN and so on. And forming groups to make it all happen, to implement it through the educational systems and so on. It's not conspiracy theory, folks, when you can actually show that the various groups, and you can look up the groups too, a lot of them, why they started. How did they start? And again, don't just take the initial search on the internet. Go much deeper to find out the sources. It's just astonishing. The memory hole is here with the internet, you know. It's just too easy now, isn't it? Now that they've eliminated so many books across libraries across the world, the Western world especially, and dumped them. They called it weeding programs, eh? International weeding programs. And then, oh, don't worry, it'll all be on microfilm. We can't get a microfilm now. And then, oh, it'll all be on the internet eventually, on libraries. And they're demolishing a lot of stuff now, too. You're in a conformist mode, whether you like it or not. You've been given sides to join on so many different topics without thinking who's benefiting and who wants this and who wrote about it long time. Look at the books. Look at the books, folks. And remember that the people who've been pushing this for years are dying off. A lot of them have died already, or they're disabled or incapacitated. And when it's all gone, there's nothing to give you a different version of what they'll give you as history. History is what you live through, especially in your own life. For myself, Alan Waterman, to your Canada, it's good night to me, your God or your gods go with you.